What about Jabari? Is he good trouble?
I would say so. I would say so. Jabari is one of eight Democratic socialists currently serving in the state legislature. They're almost all people of color under 40 years old, come out of social movement backgrounds. He was an activist for many years, also as a middle school math teacher. Forrest Affront Forrest was a nurse. Marcella Matania is another one of the socialists, was a tenant organizer in Sunset Park, whose family, her immigrant family, was evicted from their home by the landlord. The state rep didn't pay any attention to the protest they organized, and she ultimately ran for and took his seat in the state legislature. So that's the
good trouble.
That's the best kind of trouble to be making. And Jabari's a part of that crew. And I think he's been really outstanding in terms of following through on his commitments to represent a multiracial working class constituency in central Brooklyn. And I had the chance to talk with him earlier today. In Albany, negotiations on the roughly $230 billion annual state budget have sailed past the March 31st deadline that's mandated by state law, and those negotiations remain deadlocked. Governor Kathy Hochul, Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie, and Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and their staffs are negotiating behind closed doors while other legislators weigh in on the talks and try to influence what's happening. As I said, I spoke with Jabari Brisport earlier today and about how things are progressing. And I started by asking him about efforts to weave affordable housing policies into the budget and the competing claims of landlords and tenants about how to best address New York's housing crisis.
Yes, it is being referred to as a three-legged stool of new supply, of tenant protections, and additional other housing proposals involving, office conversions and legalizing of ADUs and basement apartments, many things like that. But I think probably the biggest sticking point is that progressives have been fighting very hard for many years for the Senator Salazar bill, Good Cause Eviction, which would help stem the massive rent hikes and unjust evictions we are seeing all across our state, especially in communities that are more at risk. And that has been deemed a problem for the real estate industry, which has fought tooth and nail against it. And, they're against it. So by extension, the governor has been against it. But we know that it must be, good cause eviction must be included in any housing deal.
How important is it for your constituents in your district that covers various neighborhoods in central Brooklyn?
I get emails all the time from constituents demanding that we pass good cause eviction. I've had people come up to me saying they've gotten rent increases as high as 100% in their not stabilized apartment, their market rate apartment. And these things are the biggest driver of people out of Brooklyn. If you look at the census, you will see that in terms of racial breakdowns, it is Black New Yorkers, Black Brooklynites, which are decreasing rapidly, especially over the past decade. And every single one I talk to says they are leaving because they cannot afford to live here. It is the cost of rent skyrocketing that is pushing people out. And so this is not just a justice measure. It's an anti-gentrification measure to keep people in their homes.
Right. And what should we make of these reports that there are people in the legislature and maybe the governor as well, pushing to roll back some of the rent law reforms that were instituted in 2019 that, for the first time in a long time, capped some of the excesses of the landlords?
Yeah, those people exist. Those legislators exist. That's happening. Those legislators alongside the governor are doing the bidding of the real estate industry. And REBNY, whose goal now is to sort of trade any new protection guaranteed by good cause eviction by rolling back the protections guaranteed by the HSTPA in 2019. But progressives, socialists, we are adamant that we will not pit one form of tenant versus the other. So we will not roll back protections for the rent stabilized tenants that got those in 2019 in order to gain new tenant protections for other tenants now. We need to protect all tenants and make sure they can stay in their home.
And do progressives and socialists in the legislature have enough power to enforce these demands?
This is an ongoing conversation. Why it's taking so long? We haven't seen a finalized budget bill that includes these rollbacks yet, because we are indeed still fighting to make sure that we are adding new tenants to protections, not trading tenants for protections.
Right. And we've also heard that there's been conflict between the Real Estate Board of New York and labor unions over wages for construction sites that might receive future subsidies. Is that also the case?
That is absolutely the case. The real estate industry is one of the most wealthy and powerful special interests in New York State, and they got that way by being incredibly greedy and sociopathic. So those characteristics are what they are bringing to housing negotiations. And what the specific thing is with labor is they do not want to pay workers, or they want to pay the workers the bare minimum possible in order to maximize their profits. And that's obviously, not going to fly for labor unions that are working to make sure their members can afford to live in New York, live in even the buildings they are building.
And as a socialist, what do you say to the real estate industry argument that if you give us as many subsidies as possible and as few restrictions as possible, we'll build the maximum amount of housing and we'll solve the housing crisis that way?
They did not even do that during the past 10 years of 421A. They were getting free money from the government in forms of tax abatements and subsidies, and were barely building any affordable housing. And the affordable housing they were building, some of it wasn't even affordable to the communities that it was placed into. So we have a literal record, the literal receipts that they don't do that. And so there's no reason to believe they would start to do that magically. You get the same results from doing the same things.
Right. And moving on to another topic, where do things stand for the future of SUNY Downstate Hospital, which has been at risk of closure? There was a big rally of workers and community members that you attended on February 29th, a key healthcare facility for Brooklyn.
Yeah, Central Brooklyn needs more healthcare, not less. I am fully opposed to the closure of it that was proposed by the governor, and in both the One House proposals from the Senate and the Assembly, the closure was not proposed. It was actual funding for SUNY instead. And while I haven't seen us get to a final place on this, and I haven't seen the governor make any announcement that she is walking back the proposal to close SUNY Downstate, it is not over until we say it's over. And so continued pressure is absolutely necessary. And that's not just on the governor. That's on, if you're listening to your own legislators, to make sure we keep fighting to avoid the closure of SUNY Downstate.
Right. And that was leading into my next question, which is, at this stage in the process, are members still listening to their constituents, or is the process so sort of closed down with the three people in a room construct that the public, there's no place for the public in this?
It's a mix. And, for those who are listening and may not know three people in a room, we're at the point of negotiations where they are virtually entirely being conducted between the governor and her staff, the Speaker of the Assembly and his staff, and the Majority Leader of the State Senate and her staff. But at the end of the day, your legislator has a vote, and therefore we have a voice in the way negotiations can go and what the final budget bills will look like. So in terms of applying pressure, obviously the governor, but yes, to myself and to all, your current state legislators as well, to make sure we get the budget we deserve.
Right. And also, the group you belong to, the Democratic Socialists of America, the New York City chapter, y'all have eight members in the state legislature and are looking to not only defend your current seats this year, but add three more insurgent outsider candidates and go into next year's legislature with 11 socialists. What difference would it make if there were 8 versus 11 socialists in next year's state legislature when we do this all over again?
you know, the more socialists we have, the more we can get done, because we work really well together and also in concert with strong, great advocacy groups outside. So I would just say for counting the score in 2019 with just one socialist, Julia Salazar, working together with great organizations like Housing Justice for All, we were able to move the HSTPA a couple years later when we had several more socialists in office in concert with DSA and other groups. We were able to force new taxes on the rich to the billions of dollars. And when we added additional socialists 2 years later, we were able to do nation-leading Green New Deal legislation like the Build Public Renewables Act. So with more socialists, you can see the New York Health Act happening. You can see social housing being developed, and you can see free bus lines and free transit happening. You know, the more power we can exert for an agenda that works for all people, the better.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. State Senator Jabari Brisport, thank you once again for joining us on WBAI Radio.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you.
Yeah, always.
And that was State Senator Jabari Brisport speaking to the Independent News Hour earlier today about stalled New York State budget negotiations in Albany. The three hotly contested assembly races we referred to at the end of our interview involve Claire Valdez versus Joanna Carmona in District 37 in Western Queens, Ian Terrell Huntley versus incumbent Assemblymember Stephanie Zinerman in District 56 in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and Jonathan Soto versus Assemblymember Michael Benedetto in the Northeast Bronx around Co-op City. Valdez, Huntley, and Soto are running as socialists. And we will continue to follow these races and so much other local New York City news here at the Independent News Hour and in our print edition of The Independent.